This episode may contain explicit language. Welcome to Care and Feeding, the show where we parent together. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who's almost 11, and we live in Los Angeles.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom of three littles, Henry, who's 11, Oliver, who's 9, and Teddy, who's 7. We live in Tokyo, Japan.
I'm Zachary Rosen. I am the host of another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show, and I'm dad to Noah, who's 6, and Ami, who's 3. We live in Detroit.
Today on the show, we're answering a question about whether it's okay to accept compliments about our children's appearances. This parent of a black toddler has been told not to entertain compliments about how their kid looks. But is that really the right approach? Later on, we're going to recommend some things that we're loving right now and think you might too. And then, if you're in the Slate Plus Club, we're going to be talking about what the New York Times has called the death of the teen subculture. Here's what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
I think it's hard prior to phones, things like that, to really know what the picture of teens was. Like, were we out there asking them? Were we even worried about teen loneliness? Right? Like, a lot of the same stuff was going on. And I don't think that the problem is coming because they're into aesthetics, right? The problem is coming of teen loneliness and because we live in such a divisive world where they're targeted. And I guess I just, yes, some of that is happening on the internet, but some of the like ability to connect with people happens over the internet too. Like if you're in a small town and you were the only person that connected with one of these, were goth or were into this, you know, weird band or something, you were alone and you're not alone anymore.
If you're listening on Slate Plus, thank you so much for your support. We'll catch you later for your exclusive segment. If you're not listening on Slate Plus, consider it. There's no better way to support the show. And when you're a member, you'll also get ad-free listening on all Slate podcasts. Sounds great, right? We think so too. Go to slate.com/careplus for more info. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll see you back here in a minute for our listener question.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
We're back and diving right into our question. This came in from one of my Instagram followers, and he asked us to answer it on the show. So I was very excited about that. More questions in my DMs, please. I love it. He wrote, "So we take our 2.5-year-old to school for a couple hours once a week. Overall, it's been a good experience, though we are staying tuned into potential microaggressions. Anyway, the class facilitator made an interesting suggestion. She said we shouldn't entertain, indulge, accept compliments from people regarding our child's appearance, and that we should redirect the praise to highlight how the child contributes to the family or household. For example, she's so good at helping to set the table for dinner, or she's really good at tidying up before bedtime. I understand the value of this approach, but as the parent of a Black child, I think she needs all the positive reinforcement about her appearance she can get. Note, she's the only Black child in the school." Well, as you can imagine, I've got a lot to say, but we're going to start with you, Zach.
I'll just set the table a little bit. I'm excited to hear your thoughts. This is fascinating. I mean, I think my only quick thought is it's not a no and. It's a yes and. Like, it's not a don't entertain, indulge, or accept. I think, like, accept it and redirect. My child is beautiful and great at setting the table. Like, I don't think you have to shut down a compliment, really, ever, but I might be missing something.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel qualified to speak to kind of the racial element of this, but I think my fear of this kind of being the rule is that it really limits, like, our ability to interact with each other, kind of out and about. I don't know. I feel like when I'm walking around, like, sometimes you're really struck by just, like, how adorable a child is or how cute they're being. And it feels like It's okay to say to the parent, like, oh, what a lovely child. Like, I haven't witnessed any behavior to be like, I love the way your child sets the table, right? Like, all I can say is, like, you guys are out as a family, and oh my gosh, how cute are you? And it feels like you want to say something. I just feel like parents are out there struggling. I want to be able to just, like, compliment this one little moment. If you're having a bad day or whatever, I get it. Like, we don't want to put the child's whole value on how they look. But I don't know. I just want us to be able to have those nice interactions. And I don't usually mean, like, the only value your child has to me is that they're cute. I just mean, what else am I, you know, gosh, they just look so cute or they're behaving so cute. I don't know. Jamila, mm-hmm. I mean, Jamila, what were your, I know even when you sent it to us, you had like an initial reaction.
You're excited about this
one. I want to hear it. Yeah.
I am. I think the class facilitator is, their intentions are good, but they're somewhat misguided. I'm somebody who compliments kids all the time. Black kids, white kids, Asian kids, Latino kids. Like, I love cute little kids. If your kid is cute, you know, and I'm particular, I do make a point to tell Black girls that they're pretty or adorable on a regular basis, you know. And I think that that's fine. I think it's great for kids to get compliments like that, you know. But, like, something, I remember Barack Obama once talking about how it was important for him to emphasize that his children were smart and capable and helpful around the house, but they were also beautiful, you know? And I think for Black children in particular, it's incredibly important that you're telling your Black, I mean, I think all children need to hear that they're beautiful, like, full stop, you know? But for Black children in particular, you know, and particularly for Black children who don't see themselves reflected in media, meaning dark complexion Black girls who have 4C hair, you know, like, most of the little Black girls on TV look like my daughter, light skin with curly hair, could be biracial, you know. And so maybe the child that looks like that doesn't need the abundance of compliments that other Black children need. But in general, like, I think that Black kids need to be affirmed in their beauty. They need to understand that they are more than just what they look like, but that what they look like is special and valuable too, you know? And I think that it's not for a parent to redirect a compliment like that, you know, because, like, it's weird, you know, like, if this is somebody who just met you in the grocery store saying your daughter's so pretty, for me to be like, oh yeah, she can really set the table too, like, that's strange, you know? Like, say thank you, take the compliment and move on, you know? Like, if it's a family member, you know, like a grandparent or an aunt who's constantly fawning about how beautiful your child is, you can say, well, not only is she beautiful, she's really smart, she's a really good, you know, like, that makes a little bit more sense. And I think it's for parents to find that balance of compliments, right? Like, you need need to tell your child not just that they're beautiful, mm-hmm, you know, but mm-hmm. also that they're smart, that yeah. they're competent, that they're kind, you know, but like redirecting compliments about a child's beauty. I mean, I would think that a kid, if your parent does that every time somebody tells you that you're cute, you're going to wonder, am I not cute?
Yes.
You know, like, yes. why does my parent have a problem with people telling me that I'm pretty? Why do they always feel the need to say something else? So it's just a matter of making sure that you're feeding your child's self-esteem and that you are giving them a healthy balance of affirmation about everything about them, from the way they look to the way they behave to how they think, how they care about people.
Yeah, I just think society does such a good job of telling us all the ways that we are not pretty. All of us, right? Like mm-hmm. that we are never meeting these standards. And Jamil, I totally agree. If your parent is constantly like, well, she's really good at the piano, or like, she does great math, or like, whatever, like, you are going to be like, why? Why would people say I'm cute? Does my parent keep basically negating this?
Yeah.
I do think what we can take from this is that if there is something else to compliment, maybe making the compliment more specific is something we can do, right? So like if you've witnessed a something that is lovely, instead of just saying, oh gosh, your child is so cute, or like you could say, what a polite child, or what, you know, like, wow, what your child did was so kind. Or it's really impressive that they're doing this. But I agree, like, it's nice to hear you look nice. And I think it's okay for us to feed each other's egos like that. And parents can then regulate. Like, if you have a kid that's getting a ton of physical feedback, can't you balance that at home with making sure you're providing what they're not getting? So you are also all of these things.
And I definitely think for a child that's the only anything in their school, whether they're the only Black kid, the only Jewish kid, the only kid with freckles and red hair, mm-hmm. you know, like, they need to hear that the way that they look is good too, because the messaging that they're getting, you know, without anybody saying it, is that you don't look the way you're supposed to look, you know, because everybody else looks like this and you look like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, what advice do you have? Send your thoughts to KarenFeedingPod@slate.com or leave a voicemail at 646-357-9318. We're always curious to know what you think. We're going to take one more break and then see you back here for recommendations.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into our recommendations. Zach, what are you recommending?
I am kind of reluctantly recommending this YouTube channel. And YouTube is a scary kind of rabbit hole that we don't actually let Noah go down, because, you know, the algorithm just serves you all sorts of wild stuff, even YouTube Kids. But there's this one channel that we found called Art Hub for Kids, because Noah is really interested in drawing and is getting really into it, and has a, I think, like, what's a type A kind of brain, where she wants to see someone, she wants a lesson in how to draw Bluey or an ice cream cone or anything. So this channel, Art Hub for Kids, just has like these great informational videos, how to draw dot, dot, dot. And she's made some beautiful work since watching these videos. The only thing that you should be warned about is they're selling their markers pretty hard. Like, they are like, they are really wanting to sell their product, and so be aware of that. And we've talked a lot about that, Noah and I, that's part of their mission, is to sell their shit. However, in addition to that, it's pretty good tutorials for someone like Noah, who just wants to like sit and learn how to draw something, and her skills are growing because of it.
Yeah, YouTube with parental guidance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it now. This is very cool. It's a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like this kind of like skate bro dad figure drawing with younger people. It's really sweet.
Zach, can I recommend another drawing thing for you to watch with her?
Writing it down.
Okay. I think you should watch Lunch Doodles with Mo Willems.
Mm.
It's on YouTube.
Great.
And he, in one of them, you go around his studio. He talks, but you draw the pigeon. He teaches you how to draw all the characters and like how to write a little book. And it has none of the ads, none of the, it's a limited series, of course, because literally he did it during COVID and now it's available for everyone.
Oh, that sounds really fun. Awesome.
Lovely.
Cool. Great. She'll love that. Thank you.
All right, Elizabeth, what about you?
Okay, I'm still in Hawaii, got a very Hawaii recommendation that I thought everyone knew about, but my friend that I met up with here didn't know about this. So I guess these UV detection stickers for sunscreen. So you actually put them on your skin, the kid's skin, and then you apply your sunscreen over it. And when the sunscreen needs to be reapplied, it turns purple. So it'll go from being kind of clearish to turning purple. It's great for me because I often forget like how long we've been there and also just like how much kids have been in the water or playing. It might be different. And so I just put one of these on each of the kids' arms and then we apply the sunscreen. I do one on myself, too, just to remind me. And then you just apply your sunscreen of choice over it. They're really great.
Wow.
And the kids like to check them and come back and be like, I'm purple or I'm turning purple. And it's a great little hack if you like me. Forget that we constantly need to reapply sunscreen.
That's great.
I love that. Naeem and I both burn too, so that would be very helpful.
Yeah, don't wait till you're, you know, crispy. I linked to one from UVify. That's what we have, but there's a million types. I am sure they all work because they're just detecting the UV and how much your sunscreen is blocking it.
Great.
Jamila, what are you recommending?
So I am recommending getting a 64-ounce water jug. I have mine here.
Oh, my gosh.
I got it on Amazon. It was like $8. And many of them, what they do is they have like times on there, like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. My dermatologist told me that's not enough water. Well, I knew that wasn't enough water for a day, but that's probably all the water I was drinking in a day, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm having a couple skin issues that are related to being dehydrated. So I've been drinking two of these a day at least. And I live in the bathroom. All I do is pee. I have to pee right now.
Yep.
Yes, I've never peed this much in my life. It's only been a few days, but it's like, oh my God. But you're like, oh my gosh. He told me that I needed to be drinking, was it an ounce per pound or like half of your body weight in water? I think it's like half your body weight in water. No, it can't
wait,
be half.
What? That would be too much.
I can't remember. No, not no. Half your body weight wouldn't be.
Well, I Googled.
Oh my gosh.
And it does say the old adage of 8 glasses a day is no longer true. Instead, think about how much you weigh and divide that number in half. That's how many ounces of water you should drink a day. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need 100 ounces. PBS.org. Yeah. Do we trust PBS with that?
Absolutely. Yes. That's incredible.
Yes, that is what he told me. So I've been drinking two of these. So I've been drinking a whole gallon, you know.
And you're doing it? Like you're able to get that much water down?
Yeah, I actually filled this. I hadn't drank any water this morning except for when I took my medicine until we started the show and it's noon my time.
That's amazing.
And I've drank most of this during the show. It doesn't take me long to, you know, drink one of these. My goal is just to fill it up twice a day. I think it might be three times today just because I've drank so much already. Oh, we've got a guest.
We have a guest. Hi, Ami.
Ami, you want to say hi real quick? Say hi to Jamila and Elizabeth.
He's waving. Okay. That counts.
You smell like peanut butter. I'm almost done, sweetie. Here, you have to take them.
Jamila, how much do you think you were drinking before this?
I think I was drinking like 3 or 4 large cups. You know, so basically not enough. Like I would drink a big cup during the day and like maybe 2 or 3 during dinner.
But
now all I do is drink water. So I'll keep you posted because I feel like I'm now going to be the healthiest person in the world. And I feel so good. And
you feel a difference already.
I feel a difference
already.
That's
awesome. Great.
Okay, that's great. Okay, and you just got, it's just a, show it to us again and tell us about it. It's a 64-ounce jug, is that what you said?
64-ounce jug. And they've got plastic ones, they've got glass ones, they've got all types. I'm sure there's probably a Stanley one, too, if you want to ball out. But mine's like $8, and it's cute, it's sturdy, and...
If you want to be like Jamila, she got a very cute purple one.
Yes, there are lots of colors available. You can get one that matches your aesthetic.
I love this.
All right. Well, we want to hear what you're loving, listeners. So seriously, be sure to reach out to us and keep the conversation going. And that's our show. Please subscribe, leave a rating and review, and tell your friends. This episode of Care and Feeding is produced by Maura Curry with special thanks to Rosemary Belson. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is the VP of Slate Audio. For Zach Rosen and Elizabeth Newcamp, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thanks for listening.